Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome in to the Blog Talk Radio Studios. Jeff Ward's back with another edition of 15 Minutes of Fan. We have plenty of NFL news to talk about. That's what the NFL does. No matter how out of season they are, they make big news. Plenty of things to talk about today, including a rules change that I actually agree with. I say that they're ruining the game, but I may actually agree with this rules change. But first, let's talk Royals. Several things going on yesterday in Surprise, Arizona. One of those being a kind of a question mark, but I think a lot of people at least maybe pulled for this guy. And that is Raul Mondesi. He gets the second base job, according to Ned Yost. He lands that second base job. And interesting from Ned yesterday, said that it was the bat that got Mondesi this job. And anyone that followed the Royals last year says, no, there's no way. Raul Mondesi's bat is terrible. Well, he's raking this year. He is absolutely going insane in spring training right now, and that is what Ned Yost says is really the tipping point for Raul Mondesi getting that second base job. Now it leaves the kind of the opening. What are they going to do with Whit Merrifield? What are they going to do with several of these guys that maybe they have some working pieces with right now? What do you do with Whit Merrifield? It seems like if you're going to get him action, it's got to be in Omaha. And that's weird to say for what he contributed last year. But if you're going to get him every day at bat, obviously you're not going to be able to do it in Kansas City. If Raul Mondesi is your guy, you've got to get him every day at bats, and you have to get Merrifield at least, you know, 2 to 3 times a week at bats. That's got to be in Omaha at this point. So, again, Raul Mondesi, the starting second baseman, at least for opening day for Ned Yost and the Kansas City Royals. Elsewhere yesterday, some moves were made due to an injury. This one sucks because of what happened to get this gentleman. But yesterday, Jorge Soler, the newly acquired Jorge Soler, strained his oblique and was put on the disabled list. Looks like it could be until the start of the season, maybe several games into the start of the season. So a guy that they picked up, of course, in the Wade Davis trade, now that looks like, and you can't say that backfired already, but if this is going to be a continuous thing, if this is going to be a thing that we see, you know, once a month, I'm out for a week, I'm out for, you know, I stubbed my toe last night. If this is going to be, and don't get me wrong, a strained oblique hurts. It hurts, and it hurts badly. And I think it's definitely necessary that Soler sets out for just a little bit. But, man, if he misses extended amounts of time throughout the season, you have to believe this Wade Davis trade was an absolute flop. And we'll still see how things will work from there. But it looks like right now things are going to definitely be different in the outfield. Of course, you know, a lot of moving parts there as well. Brandon Moss added in. We forget sometimes about Paulo Orlando. He's been killing it in spring training as well. So we forget about guys like that that are kind of on the outside looking in, quote unquote. That's strange to say about Paulo because he was a very strong player last year to end the year for the Royals. He was a name definitely for Kansas City last year. But again, Jorge Soler will start the season on the disabled list due to a strained oblique. One quick story from the bullpen, and this one actually consists of a lot of guys. It looks like they will move, well, actually they already have, optioned left-hander Scott Alexander and outfielders Billy Burns and Peter O'Brien. Peter O'Brien, if you have caught a glimpse of the Royals this spring training, he has been a huge bright spot. Still some things, you know, that he probably needs to work on. Not going to be a everyday MLB player yet, but don't be surprised if he is called up very quickly, because he was a big time hitter for the Royals in spring training and had a glove, not necessarily the best glove, but had a glove, and maybe could make a could give some help to that outfield. Of course, now with Soler down, Peter O'Brien, who has been a left fielder, could fill in for a spot. We may see a platoon of players once again in those spots. Right now, of course, in left field, it would be a little bit tough to surpass what they have out in left, but could be a possible move for the Royals. As we said with that bullpen, all of those moves opens up a spot on the 40-man roster for reliever Peter Moylan, who I think a lot of people have been jonesing to see come to Kansas City for a while. He made his major league debut last year with the Royals. I think he will have now one of the solid spots in that bullpen, maybe a seventh inning guy trying to make it in that final bullpen spot. But it looks like he has a door open right now to get that bullpen spot and get into this Royals organization to start out the year. All right, to the NFL now. Several moves in the NFL yesterday. We talked about this yesterday. It had not become official yet. It did yesterday, however. The Oakland Raiders now will be the Las Vegas Raiders. That starting in 2019, we have kind of alluded to that the last couple of days. That won't start for a couple of more years. That is going to be a weird situation in Oakland. That is going to be a strange, strange situation. I compared that a week or so ago to getting a divorce from your wife and still living there. It seems a little bit weird. But again, they now are the Las Vegas Raiders. They needed a 3-quarter vote for that. They had a 31-1 vote. The only one being the general manager of the president, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, and whatever that was, if he wanted to be the only one in a warm weather city, I don't know what that was all about. But the 31-1 vote will get the Raiders into Las Vegas coming up again in 2019. They will be their first year of the Las Vegas Raiders. Still plans in the works for a potential dome stadium that has been thrown around. I think that is decently likely, but I don't get why that, but definitely has been thrown around. Final plans, of course, have not been made for the Raiders stadium out in Vegas. But man, Chiefs fans, if you're looking for a road trip, even if the game isn't that good, and we've seen that with the Raiders and Chiefs, even if the games aren't all that good, a weekend in Vegas doesn't hurt that much. It doesn't hurt that much at all, does it? Head out on out on Friday, spend a day in Vegas, and if you make the game, so be it. If you don't, they're on TV. Just a nice weekend in Vegas wouldn't hurt any guy at all, anybody. Just a nice little weekend in Vegas. Make sure you have a little bit of money, though, when you leave the state. Don't hit that Vegas strip too hard. All right, some bad news out of New England yesterday. Some bad news for 31 teams out of New England yesterday, and that was Robert Kraft saying that Tom Brady, and this is funny to me, Tom Brady is willing, according to Bob Kraft, to play 6 or 7 more years in the NFL. Tom Brady at age 39 is willing to play 6 or 7, no, 4 possibly, 3 without a doubt. I look for the 4 to 5 range. I wouldn't be surprised to see him still there in 5. I think he's definitely there for at least 3, maybe 4 more years, which would put him through, what, 2023, something like that. I wouldn't be shocked to see him stay that long. 6 to 7, though. A 45-year-old quarterback, 46-year-old quarterback, just that doesn't sound right. And if you're anyone in this situation that really hates this news, it's Jimmy Garoppolo. It's the backups for New England. The backup quarterback in New England is starting to become the backup third baseman for the Baltimore Orioles behind Cal Ripken. You're just not going to see play. It's not going to happen. Cal Ripken played 2,000 games, over 2,000 games. Does anybody know who the backup for Cal Ripken was for Baltimore? No. And I think it would be an extreme waste of talent for Jimmy Garoppolo to be the backup in New England. Anyone to be the backup in New England at this point, it would be a strange situation. I alluded to this earlier, and the NFL, I argue with the NFL a lot, over random rules changes that, frankly, Roger Goodell's just swinging it around. That's all there is to it. He's swinging it around and showing everybody, I have the rules. But this one really kind of I'm okay with. Yesterday, Goodell, along with the NFL owners, they proposed a rule that will prohibit players from leaping over linemen during extra points, field goals, things like that. That they will not be able to hurdle linemen now due to the risk of injury, being flipped over, whatever it may be, landing on the neck, landing on the back, getting some sort of serious injury. I agree with this one because more often than not, and I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but more often than not, you don't see the guy jump over the line and get the block. Sometimes you do. Sometimes it is the best play of the day in a game. But more often than not, you don't see a guy get that. You don't see a guy make any sort of move to block that kick. And I hate that Goodell, I hate that the owners just are making up rules as they go along, quite frankly. But this one, I wouldn't have instituted it, but I'm totally okay with it. I think it's probably best for business that an unnecessary play doesn't happen. And, they say the same thing about the extra point. Let them do that. I still think it was a bad decision, but make that play, make a play that just really doesn't need to exist. Just let it go. And I agree with the NFL on this. Again, they will vote on leaping block attempts on field goals and extra points. That rule is expected to come down today, expected to pass today. We'll have more on that on tomorrow's show. We'll have the full result of that. I expect that to be a pretty lopsided vote in favor of the ruling. Quick look at what we have going on upcoming in the world of sports. Of course, the Final Four last night set for the women's basketball tournament. Kentucky absolutely obliterates number 10, Oregon. They absolutely lay them out 90-52. UConn's winning streak just absolutely flying right now. And also the South Carolina Lady Gamecocks get their trip into the Final Four after a victory over Florida State. So coming up on Friday, we will see our Final Four for the women's tournament start. It will be a early game, the Stanford Cardinal taking on that aforementioned South Carolina Gamecocks team. These all going on in Dallas, Texas at the American Airlines Center, the home of the Dallas Mavericks. And of course, on the opposite side, it is the 36-0 UConn Huskies taking on Mississippi State. The start times for that on Friday, 6:30 Stanford and South Carolina, and of course approximately 8:30 UConn taking on Mississippi State. So the Final Four set for both teams, of course, both genders. The men start on Saturday, the women on Friday, and we'll have a lot of basketball and basketball wrapping up coming up this weekend and into next week. We'll have a lot more on that in the coming days. We'll probably talk all basketball for at least Thursday and Friday. We'll talk a lot of basketball going into the Final Four and the national championship coming up on Monday. We'll talk a lot more about that in the coming days. As for today, I'm a little bit over time here today, so I apologize for that. I'm going to sign off. Have a great day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow with a brand new edition of 15 Minutes of Fan.